Good morning, my dear brothers, sisters, and friends. Today's class is called Surrounded by Enemies, and this is part two. Last Sunday, we studied Exodus 14. We talked about the physical reality we live as human beings and the spiritual reality full of God's promises. We said we are pilgrims going to our eternal home, the same as the Israelites went from Egypt to Canaan. Today we'll study part three, the way we react when facing these two realities in our daily life. If you didn't listen to part one and two last Sunday, you can go and listen to those two parts first before coming to this one. Many people think Christians should not suffer. The Bible never says we will be exempt from trials, temptation, problems of many kinds, loss of things, loss of people. But what the Word does say is that we can have peace in the middle of any storm, because the Lord is always with us. One of Pastor's sermons a couple of weeks before was based on Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, and it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid of or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And also, Jesus promised to give us his peace, the supernatural peace that keeps us hopeful in the middle of any circumstances. You can read John 14:27. For this world, peace is the absence of troubles. However, as soon as a difficult situation arises, people lose their peace. But Jesus said in that chapter, in that scripture, John 14, verse 27, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So, going back to Exodus 14, we found the Israelites between Pharaoh and the Red Sea. But remember what God had promised and the demonstrations of his physical presence. Remember the angel? The Lord himself was guiding them. They could see and feel his presence. How do we know that? Well, what were the pillars of cloud and fire they could see every day? If we go to chapter 13, last two verses, Exodus 13, verses 21-22, it says, "By the day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." They had two realities in front of them. How did they react? Did they believe God? No, they didn't. They were so terrified that they were convinced death was their destiny. A question I ask myself is, what would have happened if the Israelites had begun to sing and praise the Lord in the moment they didn't see a way to escape from Pharaoh, instead of complaining? God had a plan. He was going to open a way through the Red Sea no matter what. Exodus 13, 17, and 18 says, God didn't lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter, but led the people around by the desert toward the Red Sea. You can read chapter 13 to find out the reason why God did that. Of course, God took his children up to that place. Of course he did. There's nothing happening around us that the Lord doesn't know. There are no surprises for him because he is omniscient. So our reaction in front of any situation is not going to change God's plans to prosper and not to harm us. His plans to give us hope and a future, as Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says. This means that when God wants us to trust him, it's not because of him, but because of us. If we sin and praise in the middle of the storm, we won't suffer being afraid or terrified, thinking the enemy is stronger than our loving and caring Father. But on the contrary, confidence in the Lord keeps fear away, increases our faith, and extinguishes all the flaming arrows of the evil one. As we know, Moses held out his staff and the Red Sea was parted by God. The Israelites walked on the dry ground and crossed the sea. And once they were on the other side, Moses lifted his arms again and the sea closed. Many times we don't see the other side. But there's always a way through the sea and go over to the other side. I think we will never have the imagination to see those giant walls of water on the right and on the left. The mighty hand of the Lord divided the sea, drove a strong wind, turned the way into dry land, and held those water walls all night. The enemies themselves were witnesses of the supernatural power of God. In this chapter 14, verse 25, they said, listen to what they said, the enemies. Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Even the Egyptians had to open their mouths to call our God the Lord and recognize Egypt could not do anything. When God tells us to be still because he's going to fight for us, we better glorify him and not hinder him. When we sin, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. We must believe that what we see is more real than any ocean or mountain we have in front of us. We decide how to react in front of trials. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. Listen to this because this is really important. It is in plural. Our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our war is not against human beings as we are, but spiritual beings. This is why we need to walk in the spiritual realm and always have our armor in place. Let's follow Peter's advice. He says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." That's 1 Peter 4, verse 12. In Spanish, it says, "Don't be surprised of the fire of trial." We are sometimes exactly in the middle of warfare. But let's remember, God can divide the sea and hold walls of water for us to go through. Even when the enemy is chasing us, he can be behind us, but there will be a pillar of cloud, the Lord himself, for the enemies not to reach us. We can hear the chariots, but the way that is open for us will bury them. All throughout our life, things are changing from one situation to another, but God never changes. If we rejoice and are grateful in our good days, we will do it when trials come. But it has to be a habit. We need to get accustomed to rejoice in the Lord every single day, no matter what. When Moses told the people, "Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Exodus 14, 13, 14. Chapter 14, verses 13, 14. When Moses said that, he knew for sure those enemies were going to disappear. I would like to encourage you to read all details in this story, because they are comparable to our journey here in this world. The deeper we understand this story, the more we can identify our trial's origin, whom we need to rely on, and see our Lord, how our Lord backs up his children, and how he opens ways and gives the victory. I would like to read a comment I found. It says, "For the Israelites, the wilderness period had two meanings. The first was that they had to leave behind the traditions of Egypt. The Israelites had to separate from all that bound them to Egyptian culture and religion. The second meaning was that they had to prepare for entering the new land of Canaan. They had to make themselves ready to set up a culture and tradition centered on God. And as a conclusion, we must live a Christ-centered life. All bounds we had with the world are done. We are new creatures and have been empowered to walk, dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, to be able to rest in his shadow." You know, some Jewish doctors have said that Psalms 91 was written by Moses. But if it was Moses or David, let's believe that he is our refuge and our fortress, our God, in whom we trust. Psalms 91, verses 1 and 2. God bless you all.